It is good to be with you this morning after such an exciting weekend on our campus. Last weekend with Easter Sunday, we had had a really exciting weekend already here this weekend. And so we're glad that you're here for worship. We ran over just a little bit at the last service because it was a full service. Dan's got a great sermon, an important announcement to make. But we also celebrated the confirmation of 26 of our 6th, 7th graders into the life of the church. And that's always just a real blessing to participate in that as well. And so before we get started with this service, I have just a few announcements I'd like to make. First, if you park in our education wing parking lot over here, you may have noticed some new signs that were there that say special needs parking Sundays only, 7 a.m. to noon. And I wanted to explain very quickly about that. Our accessibility ministry made a recommendation, and our trustees heard that recommendation, and we've allocated that parking over there for folks who don't have handicap parking privileges but might need to be closer to a sidewalk or have a shorter distance to walk to our worship center. And so that's, you know, if you have a cane or a walker or for some reason are wearing a boot or on crutches, those kinds of things. But then also for our families with numerous small children, that makes it difficult to get in and out of parking. So I wanted to let you know about that parking over there. This Wednesday, April 6th at 6:30 in rooms 203, 204, my wife Lenora Russo will be leading a new book study on Holy Spirit, which is the book available in the bookstore if you'd like to participate in that group. It runs for the duration of April for all Wednesdays in April, 4 Wednesdays, 6:30, room 203, 204. Next Sunday, April 10th at 3 p.m., we'll be having a special concert, and that is information is inside your bulletin. It's called My Soul's Been Anchored. It's a concert with Pamela Dillard, who's a mezzo-soprano, and she has some guest artists coming with her. A couple of our members saw her last year in North Carolina and were so taken with her performance, they suggested that we bring her here. She will be singing at all three of our services, but then doing a concert here, free to the public at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We will be taking a love offering, but we would encourage you to join us for that. Trinity Talents Art Show is kicking off. We're collecting for that on Monday, April 11th, and then the premiere will be on Sunday, April 17th, so 2 weeks from now. If you've provided something for the show before, you're encouraged to do so again, or if you're an artist who's not ever shown your work here at Trinity, this is a good opportunity to do that. There are applications available, and Grace Cassell can answer any questions you have about that, but there's a note about the art show in your bulletin. Lots of other great information in your bulletin. I encourage you to read it. I'd like to also point out the Connect card. If you're here for the first time today, welcome. We're so glad that you joined us. And if you're a longtime member, welcome home. We want you all to fill out the Connect card and pass that in because it's useful to us in our ministry. So those are our announcements. Time now for our mission box. And I'm assuming, I didn't ask you about this, but Aaron Melling is here with his ASP t-shirt on. Our mission box this morning goes to support our summer youth mission trip. So here's Aaron to tell you more about it.
Hello, everybody. My name is Aaron Melling, and I'm here to talk about ASP, or the Appalachian Service Project. Sorry about that. So, on paper, this is a service project about the Appalachian area with the goal to renovate homes to make them warmer, safer, and drier. But that's not all it is. This is the type of service project that I clear my calendar for every year. It's about meeting new people, working with people I may not have worked with before within my youth group and just adults that I may have never met before, and strengthening your bond with God through service to others. For example, last summer, my team and I, we worked on the house for this lady named Miss Diana. She's an older lady, and she's tiny, so she definitely needed our help. And her spirit was so fiery. She would regale us with stories about how God would help her throughout all of these things in her life, and how even though she needed our help, she felt that she could help us. And it was truly amazing. So money donated will go towards student showers for the volunteers at schools and churches that they live in, because normally we live in an abandoned school, and we set up, not an abandoned, but over the summer, and we set up showers out of wood. also, this money will go towards supplies that we need to create these homes, to renovate these homes. And I can tell you that the more supplies you're able to buy, the easier it is to create drainage ditches, insulate walls, put up siding, build porches, paint rooms, and in general, provide for those who fear what winter might be for them. Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron. Aaron Melling is one of our student leaders. He's a senior. He's on the youth leadership team. He's also on the focus group that's working with me to find our next director of student ministry. Just an example of finding young people that we have here at Trinity. 25 of which were confirmed into the faith at the last service. But these mission trips change hearts and lives, not just for those that they go to serve, but for all of the youth that are doing the service. So I encourage you to give generously at the 5 mission boxes as you leave today. So that's our announcements, our mission box. Time now for this tradition that we have here at Trinity. We hope that everyone comes to feel this way about our church. Welcome home. Why are we here? Let us worship God together.
My life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let the flowing seasons away. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of my love.
As you are able, we're going to declare our faith together using this creed written by our confirmands. It is a little lengthy, but it is really, really beautiful. We believe that God is our almighty and forgiving Father, creator of heaven and earth. We know that God loves us with an everlasting love, even when we turn away from Him. He is the light of this world and rejoices with us when we share His light with others. God created each one of us with special gifts and a plan for our lives. We believe that Jesus is our Savior because He died on the cross for our sins, and then He rose from the grave 3 days later. After His resurrection, He went to heaven to be with God, His Father. We believe that Jesus was sent by God to earth to teach us about God's real love, to show us how to treat others, and to teach us more about God's kingdom. We believe that the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Holy Trinity, God's presence here on earth. Even though sometimes God feels far away, His Spirit is always with us wherever we go. The Holy Spirit gives us strength when we are feeling weak and guides us in our struggles. We believe that the church is not a place, but a community of believers that know that when we are together, we can connect better with God. The church is a welcoming home to everyone. It is our job to spread the love of God to everyone, in word and action, even in the farthest reaches of the world. When we gather together as a church, we can worship together anywhere and anytime. We believe that as Christians, we are followers of Jesus and a part of God's church. We get to be a part of a loving community and shine Christ's light and love to the world. We try every day to do the right thing, even when it is the harder thing. We stay humble because we are all human and make mistakes, but we will still forgive and love each other. Being a Christian means I never have to feel alone, because I know God is always with me. Amen. One of my favorite parts of that creed was where they said, we get to be a part of a community. We get to be a part of a community. And that is our privilege to be a part of this community. And we are approaching now this time in our service where we can go to God with our joys and our concerns in prayer. I want to first begin by sharing, these are the names of folks that are in the hospital, in rehab, or are, will be having surgery procedures or undergoing treatment that we know of. If you see that somebody's name is missing from this list, I encourage you to please use the connect card so that Lenora Russo, our Director of Congregational Care, can get them added to visitation and prayer. We also keep a much lengthier list of prayer concerns of those in our community, maybe praying for people who are serving overseas in the military, praying for those who are undergoing cancer treatment, any number of things that you might like to have prayed for by our prayer team. You can also use the Connect card to share those with us as well. I had the occasion a moment ago between the 9:40 service and this, one of our Sunlight members, which is what I get, why I love that we get to be a part of the community, because it is so important for us to love and nurture one another, but she found out that her brother, who lives out of town, committed suicide yesterday, and just sobbing in my arms as we prayed together right over here. And that's what we get to do, is to pray for one another, pray with one another for all of these things. But beyond the concerns of our heart, we do also want to celebrate things together, and so one of the names, just a couple of things very quickly. First, we were supposed to have this second annual Family Promise bed race yesterday, but the terrible weather in the morning precluded that from happening. It had to be canceled. But the good news is that we raised still $3,000 for this important ministry. So our goal was two. So to be at 150% of the goal is a great thing, and so we celebrate that. We also want to celebrate, and this is an invitation for you to keep something in prayer. You know, we have a lot of things that happen Monday to Saturday here at Trinity. And many things that just could not happen without the dedicated staff that we have and even more amazing volunteers. But, you know, the McDowells, Earl and Sharon, they have been very passionate for years about Alpha and all of its ministries. And a couple years ago, Lenora and I participated in the marriage course and decided we wanted to take a chance at running it this year. And so with their guidance and the support of many dedicated staff and volunteers, we launched it this past Thursday right here in the worship B for 36 couples who are seeking to strengthen their marriages together. And then there are 50 children who are in child care while they're over here having their date night together. And so that is no small undertaking, and so we do celebrate this and keep these couples and their families in your prayers over the next 8 weeks as they seek to grow closer to one another. Let us now unite our hearts together. together and go to God in prayer. Almighty God of amazing love and unfailing grace, we pause this morning to thank you for this day, to thank you for mercies which are new every morning, for breath in our lungs, for the gift of life. We are grateful, God, that we get to be a part of this community. You have affectionately called Trinity in the heart of Northwest Kingsville. We thank you, God, for the ways that you are at work and all of the concerns that have been spoken aloud here this morning, and the concerns that are sure to be there that remain in the quiet of our hearts. We ask you, God, to help us trust you farther than we can see you in these things. We pray for where there is need for healing, emotional, spiritual, or physical, that you be the great healer. Where there is need for comfort and peace, we pray that you provide peace that only you can. Pray for our confirmands this day who have stood here and taken vows of membership in Christ's Holy Church. We celebrate, God, that you continue to raise up generation after generation to follow you, to follow Jesus, to make disciples committed to making a difference in this world. As evidenced by the words of their creed, we are grateful that they are following you, that they know you and are seeking to know you more, and we are inspired by their example. We look around this world and we see things that break our hearts and know that they break yours. We pray that you help us to be instruments of peace, to be instruments of change in all of these things, to be the hands and feet of Christ to a world that is watching us. May they know we are Christians by our love. We pray, God, for this transition that we find ourselves in, this season of change. We pray for our senior minister, Dan Johnson, and his wife, Jan, as they prepare for retirement. We pray for our new senior leadership as they prepare to come and join our community. And we pray for us. May we all love and serve one another in these days of change. Speak to us this day. Speak to us in these remaining minutes a word that changes our hearts and lives and makes us different from how we came. We ask these things in the name that Jesus taught us to pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. ushers and deacons come as we prepare to worship God with our offering, and members of this church, we covenant with one another to pool together the resources of our gifts, our prayers, our presence, our service, and our witness. As we give back to God now, let us pray. Gracious God, you are the giver of every good thing we enjoy in our lives, and we give back to you now from what you first gave to us. We pray, Almighty God, that you take these gifts, these tithes, these offerings, that you multiply them, have your will in your way with them, for the good of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray.
Camila is not in the choir today, so I can talk about her. Camila is going to be in the performance of La Boheme. Did I say that right? La Boheme. At the Phillips Center for the Performing Arts on April 17th. Yeah. What's that? She's playing the lead? Wow. So, if any of you can make it to that, that would be great. Unfortunately, we're going to be in Nashville, Tennessee, but at any rate, I know she would love to have you all there. Today, I'm going to ask you to pretend like you're a sixth grader, okay? Just confirmation. Ralph, that's going to be easier for you than many of us here, okay? Because we just had confirmation class, a great group of young people, and I sort of geared my sermon to them. And the title is, Dr. Seuss thing, Oh, the Places You'll Go. And I realized, regardless of your sixth grader, any of us here, in fact, I realized this morning, maybe I'm thinking about Dan and me in retirement, all the places I really want to go. And we'd like to go a lot of places, and we're looking forward to that. Some of you have asked, are we going to be around? This is not my last Sunday. This is going to be in June. But we're going to be here in Virginia and Clearwater, Transparency, near 90. So we'll be back and forth and hither and yon. But so that poem came to me. I'm going to use that poem. I used it for the confirmation. I think you'll find it inspiring, frankly, as we all did the last service. And I want to try to tie it in with Luke 24, which is a resurrection story at the end of Luke's Gospel. And it's the day of the resurrection, and Stan, if you'll bring that up, that would be great. That same day, at Easter Sunday, that resurrection day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles west of Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you kidding me? Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things he asked? What about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. What is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. And how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him when he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while we talked with them on the road and opened the scriptures?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And there he found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. May God add his blessing to this reading of God's word. Now, something in that struck me about when the tomb was empty that makes me want to ask Reverend Aaron if he'll tell his wonderful story from his work when the leading chapel at Stepping Stone. Pat Gilby, are you here? At any rate, the Stepping Stones is such a beautiful ministry that they had. Tell them what happened with it.
So on Monday, my wife, Lenore, who's been battling a sinus infection of bronchitis, so we were supposed to leave chapel for the preschool. So I went in her stead and walked in, and when I was standing in front of these 3 and 4-year-olds, the chapel was filled with them. I said, "So what is yesterday?" And they all just, you know, in a big chorus, "Easter Sunday." And I'm like, "That's right. And what did we celebrate yesterday?" And a little girl over here said, "Jesus rose from the dead." And I'm like, "That's right." And I said, "You know what I think Easter Sunday was?" And they're like, "What?" And I said, "The best day in the history of ever." But, you know, these disciples, they weren't very celebratory. They didn't know that Jesus had rose from the dead. So they were downcast. They were after this morning. And they were going to the tomb. But when they got to the tomb, what did they find? And a little boy in the back yelled out, "No Jesus!" I mean, a moment that you'll never forget, right? I had a picture, and I held it up, and there was, you know, it was an empty tomb with an angel standing outside the empty tomb. And I'm like, "That's right, there's no Jesus." And I said, "But this angel was standing there, and this angel... there, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is risen." And they said, "On Easter Sunday, we say, he is risen." And then they say, "He is risen indeed." And so I said, "Can we do that?" And they did it with such just zeal. It was amazing. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Thank you, Reverend Aaron. As I say, I'm going to walk us through Dr. Seuss and all the places people go. I've heard of that book. It was written in 1990. I don't know that I ever read the whole poem, but somehow God brought that into my mind for these sixth graders, because, wow, all the places you will go, and all the places you will go, spiritually, metaphorically, geographically, just let God speak to you this morning, if you would. Now, stand up, just bring up that opening part of the poem, and I'll kind of walk us through here, but I'll stop at various places. Congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head. I stop there, and I'll stop there with you. It's because Methodist Church, as several of us have said over the years, one of the great things about it is you don't have to put your brains in your back pocket when you come into front door of the church. Because we affirm thinking and reasoning and faith and science and the best of both of faith and great literature and all of these things. So you have brains in your head and you have feet in your shoes. You're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Not about ASP or mission trips or walking across to speak to your neighbor, whatever. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own. Now, I paused there and I said, now, compliments, this is the one place where I disagree with Dr. Zeus. Well, whoever the guy was who wrote Dr. Zeus, whatever. Because I don't think you're just on your own. Because from the moment you were baptized in this church, whether it was 12 years ago or just this morning, 12 years ago when you were an infant, this congregation pledged to surround you with our love and care and nurture. You're not on your own. You've had the ministry, the children's ministry, and the youth ministry. And just like those two disciples who were walking along the road, they thought they were alone, and then the stranger came and walked beside them, just as Jesus promised. I will not leave you orphans. I will send the comforter with you. Or at the end of Matthew, lo, I'm with you always. Or Psalm 139. Where can I leave them this spirit, oh God? Nowhere. If I go way over there, or way over there, or way up there, and way down there, you're with me through kindness. You're not alone. But they didn't recognize you. That's interesting. Incredibly interesting. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing them. We don't know exactly what that's about, but it leads us to think about Mother Teresa and her marvelous work in Calcutta, where she took care of the poorest of the poor. People said, why do you do that? And what do you see? What gives you the sense of that dignity? She said, everyone is created in the image of God. Every one of us is created in the image of God. And particularly the poor and powerless, she believed, you saw in them Jesus in his most distressing disguise, she said. And I believe she's right. And every encounter you and I have with somebody else, we can, if our eyes are open, see in them Jesus. Jesus in disguise. And when people would press her, why do you do this thing? She would grab a hold of her hand. And she would take one hand and she would go with each finger. She would bring all out. You, in, dead, to, me. Matthew 25. In as much as you've done it for the least of them, you, dead, dead, to, me. Every day of your life, from now on, somewhere in the day, you did this thing. You put the world into view. Instead of looking down at people, you saw the dignity of those things. You did it. Let's go to the next one. You'll look up and down streets, look them over with care. About some, you will say, I don't choose to go there. I'm glad to see you didn't choose to go there. I encourage those compliments. Look, you're going to face a lot of questions. Listen to your parents. Listen to your church. Listen to your spirit. Someplace you can go. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not-so-good street. You may not find any you'll want to go down. In that case, of course, you'll head straight out of the town after that. Back off. There's some places you just don't want to be involved in. You ought not to be involved in. When I was your age, we used to make bad decisions there on the farm, and it didn't cost a forever today with Facebook and this and that. Margin of error is what can happen. But don't go down some of the streets. Go out to where it's opener there in the wide open air. Oh, the places you'll go. You'll be on your way. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers and soar to high heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the main lane and you'll take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you'll top all the rest. Except if you don't. Because sometimes you won't. Isn't that great, man? Our son, our grandson yesterday, Holden, played basketball with some other players here. And they had two games. One in the afternoon, they won by 30 or 40, 20 or 30 points. It was boring. Not so much in the first game. The other players on the other team were probably 3 feet taller than they were, it seemed like. And they got whipped pretty bad. I don't think it was quite as bad as Oklahoma got beat by Villanova, but it was not good. Man, it's just a story. I'm sorry to say so. It's sadly true, the bang ups and hang ups that happen to me. You get all hung up in a first, new gang will fly on. You'll be left from the lurch. You'll come down from the lurch and with an unpleasant bump. Chances are then you'll be in a slump. Anybody here ever not been in a slump one time in your life? And here's the other thing. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. And unswamping yourself is not easily done. Those two disciples were on the way. Their whole hopes and dreams had been dashed. Everything they placed up on Jesus had been crucified and dead. And now they were confused. They didn't know what to do. They were in distress, a slump. And it took Jesus coming alongside of them. I encourage you. Sometimes you'll need a feeding minister. Sometimes you'll need a friend. Family. Your faith. Primarily, Jesus walks beside you. Bring you out of that. You come to a place where the streets are not locked. Some windows are lighted, but most of them are. A place you can pray and look your elbows. Do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win? I remember talking to a seventh grader when I was in seminary, and I asked him, "What do you look? How's the future look?" He said, "I see about 15 different paths, and I have no idea which one to take." There are those times in life you just don't know. Maybe you're facing one of those things. But it doesn't change throughout life. Changes a little bit, but still it's important. If you go in, should you turn left or right, and right is 3/4, maybe not front. So go around back and take it from behind. That's what I would do. Simple as not, I'm afraid you will find. For a mind filter muscle can make up your mind. How many of you have ever had a friend or a spouse say, "Would you just pick up your mind?" Somehow you'll escape all that waiting and standing. You'll find the right places where boom bands are playing. Oh, the places you'll go. There's fun to be done. There are points to be scored. There are games to be won. And the magical things you can do with that ball can make you the winningest winner of all. Fame. You'll be famous. As famous can be. With the whole wide world watching you win on TV. Except when they don't. Because sometimes they won't. You play lonely, and then you can hear because you're all alone. Our culture is free to be alone. So we have food in our eating and things that are made. Always checking out, but I remind them and I remind you, Jesus welcomes us plans to be alone for you, to be with the Father every day. All alone, whether you like it or not, alone will be something you'll be quite alone. And when you're alone, there's a very good chance that these things will scare you right out of your plan. There's some down the road between hither and yon that will scare you so much you won't want to go on. But on you will go. So the weather be foul, or you will go. On you will go, though your enemies are foul. On you will go, though the heart is reminds you of what a good song that is. Go to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Onward up the tree, where your arms and your sword, your speakers may reach. And on you will fight. And I know you'll fight far. Face up your tongues wherever they are. You'll get mixed up, of course. As you already know, and I told the compliment, storm. Look around with your parents. They're mixed up sometimes. our congregation. That's why God places us with other people. But despite what we put on, we know better. You get mixed up in many strange birds as you go. But be sure when you step, that you fear is intact. And remember that life's a great balance. Never forget to be dexterous in death. Never mix up your right foot with your left. And you will succeed. Yes, you will succeed. 98.75% guaranteed. I love how they use it. Jesus says, kid, you'll move mountains. So, be your name Buckbaum or Bixby or Frey or Mordecai, Ollie, Ben, Allen, O'Shea. You're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So get on your way. I told the confirmands that, oh, the places you go, who knows where you'll go? When I was your age, I had no idea I would be in ministry. I had no idea I would leave the farm. I had no idea I would go to Florida. I had no idea I would end up in Gainesville. I never heard of Gainesville before. Oh, the places you will go. Said, some of you might be a teacher. Some of you might be a preacher. I hope some of you will. I reminded them, I told them that there was another young girl who grew up in this church and in confirmation. And then she was brought here by her family, moved here when she was 18 months old. She's nurtured by the children's ministry, by the youth ministry, and sunlight, and went off to college. Came home. There was a youth intern one summer. The next year, the associate minister here at Trinity, Marcia Wiggins-Strange, some of you remember Marcia Wiggins, she encouraged this person to take another position for the summer ministry, and it was there that she got her call to ministry. She graduated from Furman University and married her sweetheart. They went off to Cameron School of Theology at Emory in Atlanta. Started preaching. He felt a call to preach. They went back to Duke Divinity School in Durham. And 19 years ago, the Florida Conference said, hey, you would be great co-pastors. We're going to place you at this piece of land that's empty and breaking in Florida. Go start a church there. And they did start a church there. It's called Harvest United Methodist Church. And that church has grown and grown until it's now, 19 years later, one of the most dynamic, amazing churches in the whole Florida continent. And that little girl at confirmation had no idea all the places she would go. She didn't know she would do that. She didn't know that someday she and her husband would be the next senior ministers here at Trinity United Methodist Church. I'm telling you, our next pastors are Steve and Catherine Pluck Price. Would you say affirmation? Yeah. Yeah. This is something that Dan and I and the Prices and the Bishop and the Cabinet have been talking about for a couple of years and praying about, and all along the way has been this confirmation. All the clergy that I know have said, that's the perfect choice. It just seemed like the right choice. Steve is this amazing tennis player, a national champion. He's a Renaissance man. He can do anything. He can sing. He can play the piano. He can do it all. Catherine's confident and capable. They've done an amazing job with this church. And this is their home church, and this is their last Sunday at Harvest United Methodist Church. And her parents, Richard and Pat Clark, whom many of you know, are down there celebrating with them. And Aaron had this great idea. Well, we've heard it from some other people, but Aaron and Kelly King went down and took a video of Steve and Catherine so that they could themselves be introduced to you and express from their first hand to you their joy at being here. And so let's watch this video. Steve and Catherine. Got it.
Good morning, Trinity. I'm Reverend Catherine Pluck Price.
And I'm Steve Price.
And we are so excited to be coming back to Trinity to serve as your co-pastors.
You all are preparing over the next week to say goodbye to a pastor with whom you have served and whom you have loved for many years now. And we are doing the same thing with a congregation that we have had the privilege of serving alongside. this time. God is taking good care of you all and taking good care of us. And we look forward to what is ahead as we prepare to come and serve with you beginning later this summer.
Some of you may know that Trinity is actually my home church. My family moved to Gainesville when I was about 18 months old and lived over on the east side of town and began attending Trinity. I remember growing up and leading our Sunday school and youth ministry, going on trips and mission trips and part of sunlight. All of those things were very important to my foundation.
You know, I'm so excited for Catherine and for wanting for her to come back home to Trinity. But you should also know that Trinity has been an important part of my formation as a follower of Christ and as an ordained minister. My first time being with you at Trinity was when Catherine and I were in college, and I came down to visit this young woman who I had fallen in love with, and I spent a Christmas Eve service there in the sanctuary on 8th Avenue, and it was such a powerful first opportunity for me to experience the love and the faithfulness of the Trinity people. And then it was just a year and a half after that that we were married there in that same sanctuary.
In my first year of seminary, Trinity invited me to come home and preach. And so I preached the very first sermon ever on the Sunday after Christmas, 1988. I was scared to death. I really wanted to pretend that I was going to be sick and run out of the space. But I know that that's what God has called me to do. And it would be wonderful to be able to come home and to preach to them and share the ministry with you all.
We also look forward to letting you get to know the rest of our family as well. We have a daughter, Shelby, and a son, Sid. They are no longer in the house with us on a regular basis because one of them, Shelby, is a recent graduate of Furman University and is in her first year of teaching through Teach for America. She lives in Lake City, South Carolina, and is having a powerful experience there in her first year working with seventh graders. And our son, Sid, is in his freshman year of college at Mercer University. One of the things that we're excited about is being a little bit closer to both of them as we come to Trinity, and that moves us further up I-75 and closer to our kids so that we can go see them and so they can come see us and get to know you. And then the other member of our family that certainly you will enjoy getting to know is Teddy, our golden doodle, who is just a barrel of fun.
We know that Dan has a very special place in your heart, and we anticipate that he will keep that very special place in his heart. In your hearts, and look forward to you making room in your hearts for us as well.
One of the things we became clear about early on in our marriage and ministry was how our gifts complement each other. And so to be able to serve together for these past 19 years with people of harvest, and now to think about bringing our gifts to Trinity and using them alongside your gifts as we work together to continue building the kingdom in Gainesville and beyond. You know, Trinity has a reputation that extends far beyond your immediate community for the work that you are doing to make a difference through ministry and mission. And it will be a privilege for us to serve as your co-pastors during this next phase of the journey. So enjoy celebrating these next few weeks as you think about the many rich memories that you have of the time that you have had as a congregation of Dan. And we'll look forward to being with you later this summer.
That's wonderful news, wonderful news. They're just amazing, wonderful people. And they actually won't be arriving until the 1st of August. And I'll be leaving, Dan and I'll be leaving somewhere in June. I don't know quite yet, maybe June 5th. But I was thinking about the 19th, but actually June 12th is my 50th high school reunion. I've never been back home, so I'll probably go up there for that. So pray for Aaron and Lenora, because they'll be carrying this load for by themselves for a while there. At any rate, I have to tell you that Catherine told us later that when she had to go over that line three times about how wonderful and exciting it is to come back home, because she just got filled up with emotion with all the memories of being back here. So I know you will welcome them. They will love you, and it's going to be Dan and I are ecstatic about this. You are too, and thanks to our transition team who worked with this and the bishop and so many people.
But let's bring back to Emmaus, not so much Dr. Drew, but Emmaus, because when Jesus was there with those two disciples, this is the thing, to transition or non-transition, whatever might be happening, the key is Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, and when he took the bread, he broke it, and when he blessed it and began to give it to them, their eyes filled. So God, open our eyes today as we receive the bread and cup, that we might recognize it, that we might see where you walk inside of us, you might lead us into more wisdom, that wherever the places that we will go, that we will never go where it is not with you. But you'll hold our hand and we'll hold yours. Those are the places we'll go to. You and us. You and us. Thank you for the bread, for the cup, Holy Communion, your presence, for the Spirit, which is indeed the sacrament. For our forgiveness of our sins, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Could you come to the front of there and I bring you the elements, and all of you, if you're new among us, we invite you to receive it. Bread and cup while Alice leads us in our closing song. And we invite you to sing along.
Lord, you have come to the lake. Waiting. my loving friend, as thus you call me. Oh, Lord, with your eyes you have searched me, and while smiling have spoken my name. Now my boat left on the shoreline behind me, by your side I will seek others.
Dear friends, the body of Christ broken for you to take and feed on him.
The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation and redemption, given to you.
Gracious God, we give you thanks for this unspeakable gift beyond our imagining. Even Jesus Christ live within us, dwell within us, that we might always walk with you, both here and into eternity. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you stand, if you are able, to reach somebody's hand. Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you in all the places that you have been.
May God's blessings surround you each day as you trust Him.